Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Welcome to Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirito with Mary Lou Nemechek. And today we are going to double back to basically the, in a certain sense, the whole foundation of why you and I, Mary Lou, are doing this podcast. We started out when it was still called a radio show, if you remember.
I do. And
I'm trying to remember how long it's been.
Oh my gosh.
Is it at least 15 years?
At least.
I think it's at least 15 years that we've been doing this show called Real Living. And the impetus for the show started out when Leo Brown, who was the then manager of the radio station, asked me if I wanted to have, if I wanted to just come in. I think he wanted to fill airtime, basically, and wanted me to do a show. And I said, okay, let's do a show. And it was for the first 2 or 3 years, the introduction to our podcast, Mary Lou, was, if you'll recall, that it had been grown from the roots of Catholic Way Bible study. And every time I would introduce ourselves, and then we've since grown away from that. But I mean, our roots are still in the scripture study, into the study of the Word of God. And the thing that as I was sharing with you off the air, Mary Lou, the thing that reminded me that maybe we should give it a go, another go, even after all this time, and the importance of scripture study, was the fact that the Holy Father established the third Sunday in ordinary time as the Sunday of the Word of God. And I had been out of the country, and it was my first Mass back in like 4 weeks. And I wasn't really prepared. And the priest said, it's the Sunday of the Word of God. I'm like, really? When did this happen? And he said that the Pope had just established it. And I was like clapping, you know, from the pews practically. And because you and I know how important it is to study scripture, and I think it's becoming more important. And I think most people understand that it's important to study scriptures. But for some reason, many sort of plain Catholics, right? Garden variety, vanilla Catholics, just feel like that reading the Bible might somehow be boring, or it might be too hard, or it might be, you know, hard to understand, or it might, you know, that you might get into the weeds pretty quickly. And you have two groups of people. You have the older people who are, of course, going on, passing on to their rewards at this point. But when we first started the Bible study in 1999, in 2000, we still had a nice group of people, older people, who were saying things like, we can touch the Bible. We can actually study the Bible. You know, are you sure we can study the Bible? Are you sure we're allowed? You know, that kind of thing. And a lot of the beginning of the early days of us was coaxing those older members off their shelf, you know, off the ledge. Yes, we can. You know, we're charged to be doing that. One of the foundational documents of the Second Vatican Council is called De Verbum, the Word of God. And it's a little yellow booklet, which I'm looking at my bookshelf, and I think I have it up there. I have several copies everywhere, that establishes how foundational it is for modern Christians, modern Catholics, to know the scriptures, to study the scriptures as the Word of God.
I pulled up what this was on Sunday, January the 26th, and he preached that power of God's Word and Scripture, encouraging everyone to keep a Bible closed for daily inspiration. And he goes on to say, let us make room in our lives for the Word of God. Each day, let us read a verse or two of the Bible. Let us begin with the gospel. Let us keep it open on our table, carry it in our pocket, read it on our cell phones, and allow it to inspire us daily. And he says,
amen.
The Lord gives you his word so that you can receive it like a love letter he has written to you to help you realize that he is at your side. So we know from our Bible study years that we agree totally with this, to keep it at hand, to open it, to carry it in a pocket, to read it on our cell phone. It's a daily thing. And so this is exciting. I really didn't pay much attention to it when I heard about this Sunday. But this is, as you said, it's going to occur each year on the third Sunday of Ordinary Time.
That's right.
God bless the Pope. I'm all
Amen.
For it.
Amen. Amen. We want to thank the Holy Father officially for listening to the Holy Spirit.
know? Yeah.
Which is always nice. Anyway.
Yeah. We have a long history in this.
I know, right? I felt pretty proprietary, and I felt like Father at Mass was saying, oh, you need to study the Word of God. And I was like, this would be a perfect plug for our Bible study.
Exactly.
You know? Why aren't you up there, you know? So anyway, whatever. But I did want to not let this go
unnoticed.
Unremarked. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because it is kind of, we've been doing this for a long time, and it seems like that we could assume that everybody's studying the Word of God, but really, wherever I go, when I speak to parishes and churches, usually what happens is the church that's running the Bible study will have like a parish mission or something, and I will come speak, and then we'll bring our resources, and then all these other people will come out of the woodwork and like stand in front of the table with our resources, kind of, you know, in shock, kind of like,
yes,
wow, you know, like, which one should I start with? You know, that kind of thing. So that, to me, that tells me that the rank and file Catholic is still kind of far away from really having any kind of familiarity with the scriptures, you know? And what I mean is even being able to distinguish between what's the Old Testament and what's the New Testament.
Well, I feel like many times people are intimidated by it, and they just want to be fed on Sundays by the homily or the readings, you know, at Mass, and then they just kind of let it go at that. And, you know, that's not the best way to handle this in order to create that personal relationship, that deep relationship, that deep faith, that coordination with what Jesus has told us to do, mm-hmm. is to find out about him in Scripture. And we can mm-hmm. do that on our own in Bible studies, and there's so many things out there today that you can use as an aid to help develop your knowledge of it. And once you have that, then you just grow in love for your faith.
That's right. And I like how the Pope timed the institution of this new feast of the Word of God on the third Sunday of Ordinary Time by doing it on the feast of Saint Jerome, you know, who is one of the main biblical scholars, the one who to whom we owe the translation of the Septuagint from the Greek into the vulgar Latin of the people at that point, also known as the Vulgate.
And isn't he the one that said ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of God?
Of Christ, absolutely.
Christ?
Ignorance
yep.
of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. So that's pretty clear. You know, you can't really say that you know Jesus if you don't know what he said, or if you don't know what the scriptures said about him before he even you know, was incarnated. So I think that's an important point. So I would point people who are more interested in finding out more to Dei Verbum, actually expressed how important and crucial and important it is to study the scriptures way back in 1962, 63, 64, right? They address this. Now, as Catholics, how do we understand the importance of the scriptures? Which is an important, I think, an interesting thing, right? It's like, how do we think that the whole deposit of the faith is just the scriptures? You know, no, of course not. That would be what? Sola scriptura, right?
Yeah, right.
Which is the foundation of, you know, many, a flavor of our Protestant brothers and sisters' faith, right? Sola scriptura, meaning.
We have that stool that you always talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And so as Catholics, for us, the deposit of the faith, so the deposit of the faith is just a fancy way of saying what we believe, you know, that we're not going to miss anything, right? Because right. The problem with just believing in scripture alone and kind of hanging your hat on scripture alone, sola scriptura, is the problem of interpretation, right? When you get to the point of explaining maybe perhaps some of the more difficult passages that need context and need, you know, that kind of thing. Who's going to determine what's right, right?
Who has the authority?
And so we believe, of course, that the deposit of the faith, our faith, is, of course, I'm sorry, I'm fighting this cat that keeps crawling onto my desk. We have to understand that we have the deposit of the faith articulated along three platforms. One is the written revelation. So that would be oral revelation. And we call it revelation because why? Because it's how God reveals himself to us. In and of himself is unknowable because he is so far away from us and so above from us, right? And so not us. He took all these steps to become known, to make himself known, to make himself intelligible. And that's where revelation comes in. So the written revelation is actually words that were spoken. So it was sacred oral tradition, which is the second platform, right, of the articulation of the deposit of the faith. And then these words were written down. Not all oral sacred tradition was written down. Right. So we have the scriptures. And then, of course, we have oral sacred tradition is kind of like the mortar in between the bricks of scripture, as I've heard it described. If it's a wall that we're building, the building blocks is the scripture, but the mortar that holds it all together derive many concepts that are not by name named in the scripture. For instance, the Trinity. The Trinity comes to us courtesy of oral sacred tradition. Many of the dogmas that we extrapolate from the scriptures come to us through oral sacred tradition. There's many other examples, but there is that second main plank of the deposit of the faith. And then because there is always a problem of interpretation, who do we, you know, if there's a difficult passage, if there's a question, who do we go to?
The magisterium.
Do we go to Pastor Bob around the corner, who has a different interpretation than Pastor Bill, right? Like 3 miles down the road, who has a different interpretation than Pastor Sally, who is 3 miles down, right? Which is unfortunate. And then what happens? Then you have schisms, right? You have schisms or divisions within the various faith traditions. And then that's how you get, like, you know, I don't know, 30,000 Protestant denominations, right? Because supposedly somewhere, somehow had a hard time with how somebody was interpreting this. The teaching magisterium just means the teaching authority to shed light, right? No final authority. As a lawyer, to me, that makes a lot of sense because they've always come equipped with a body of interpreters. For instance, the founding fathers of the United States, when they drafted the Constitution, they made sure that there was a body of people who would be able to interpret, right, what the Constitution meant, right? And that was the judiciary, right? And then, of course, they constituted a body of people who would pass the laws, you know, formulate and pass the laws, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the executive branch, which is kind of, it's not really the magisterium, but I mean, we too can understand as Americans a tripartite sort of authority, right?
Right.
And so as Catholics, the scripture is not the only source of truth, We have the oral sacred tradition, and we have magisterial teaching. So the three things blend together in the fullness of the faith. And it is so beautiful and so seamless. I mean, you know, I do come across people occasionally who will say, well, where is that written down? You know, mm-hmm. where does it say? Mm-hmm. You know, because they come maybe from a tradition in which, unless it's written down in the scriptures in an obvious way, that somehow, you know, it's not, you know, it doesn't matter, right?
Well, I'll mention one other aid to people is that our fabulous Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is more recent and is such a help if you're studying scripture or have any questions about the faith, you can find answers in there. And when you do research things in there, you find out that it goes back to scripture.
Right.
It's you know, it all blends together. It all presents the faith in a manner that is understandable, makes sense, draws you deeper into your faith, and you recognize the truth. And it's just, it works. That's all I can say is it works.
That's right. And the catechism just means teaching.
Correct.
So, you know, catechism is just like, it sounds like this weird word to modern Americans, but actually just means teaching. So when you have the teaching of the Catholic Church laid out for you beautifully in a little booklet that was the new Catechism of the Catholic Church was drafted by a committee of experts and theologians in the late 1980s and was eventually published in 1992, 1993, 1994, the various revised versions. And so that, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, together with the scriptures, is what we would propose to you all out there in the study of the scriptures, because at that point you have, you know, before I go and I ask somebody, I would always want to find out what the scripture says about this particular passage, you know, and it may not say anything about this particular passage, but it may be quoting this passage referring to, right?
Right.
So, it, you know, the scripture, the catechism may not have a section on Matthew 19, but it has a section on marriage. And in that section on marriage, in the footnotes, Matthew 19.
It will be reference. That's right.
It's reference. So that's how it works. It goes by topic, you know. It goes, the Catechism of the Catholic Church goes by the basics, the creed, the moral life, the liturgy, and prayer. It's four sections. It's actually really and truly worth a close examination if you are at all serious about your faith. And you know what? I wouldn't cheat. I wouldn't go to the, you know, because as usual, unfortunately, when you teach the faith, you know, you want to dumb down people who have PhDs and MA and masters and college degrees, because somehow in the faith, they all of a sudden, it's too difficult for them. So I've seen versions of the catechism where it's like a summary of the catechism, or it's just an abridged version of the catechism. I've seen a catechism for young people and catechism for old people and catechism for women. And you know, in the end, I'd say we all put our big girl pants and big boy pants on and shell out $10 or whatever it is and buy the catechism, the real catechism, the entire catechism, and just kind of look through it.
Well, I would say for those that are bored by the mass or other functions that they see in church, when you have a clarity of understanding and when you go back to the scripture, to the tradition, you understand what everything means, because what's so fascinating in the church is that everything they do and use has a specific meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, once you understand that, then you can participate in a more informed manner and mm-hmm. therefore find out that, gosh, it's really worthwhile going to Mass every Sunday and even during the week and joining Bible studies and doing things that are helpful in your faith.
That's right.
You can't just rely on God to just come down and zap you. You've got to make some effort here.
That's right. Ordinary channels of grace. God provided ordinary channels of grace through the sacraments, through the revelation, through all that stuff. And then there's, of course, what you're saying, the extraordinary channels of grace in which God occasionally can zap you. But usually it works that you want to work with him. You know, you're seeking out him out, right? So we've been talking about the importance of studying scripture, and we will pick this back up in our next show. Thanks for joining us.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... A few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zemak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.